Welcome to this beginner Ableton Live 12 lesson on building a subway to edit an immense style call and response riff transform from scratch. In plain English, we're making a low-end bass idea that talks to the drums instead of just sitting underneath them. That's a huge part of drum and bass energy. The drums ask the question, the bass answers, and the whole groove feels like it has attitude. We're going to keep this beginner-friendly, but I still want you thinking like a real producer. That means clear sounds, smart note choices, controlled sub, and enough space for the amen break to breathe. This kind of idea works great in a drop, a switch up, or a 16-bar development section. It's also really useful from a mastering point of view, because if the low end is clean now, everything later gets easier. Let's get started. Open a new Ableton Live 12 project, and set the tempo to 172 or 174 BPM. That puts us right in classic drum and bass territory. Now create two MIDI tracks. One will be your amen break track, and the other will be your subweight bass track. On the drum track, load in an amen style break sample, or use your own chopped break if you already have one. Don't overthink the editing yet. Just get a loop running over two or four bars so you can hear how the bass interacts with it. On the bass track, load operator if you want the cleanest beginner sub, or waveatable if you want a little more character. For this lesson, operator is a really solid choice because it makes a strong sub fast. Set it up as a simple sine wave style bass. We want weight, not a messy sound right away. After the synth, an EQ8, saturator, and utility. Those three are going to help us shape the low end, add a little harmonics, and keep everything mono and solid. Now let's write the bass phrase. Create a 4-bar MIDI clip on the bass track. We're going to build a call and response idea using just a few notes. That's really important here. In drum and bass, less can absolutely hit harder, especially when the break is active. Start with a short note on beat 1. That's your call. Then add another short note later in the bar, maybe on an offbeat or on beat 3. That's a reply, or part of the response. Then in bar 3 or 4, add a lower or longer note that feels like the answer landing properly. That's where the weight really shows up. If you're not sure where to begin, only use 2 or 3 notes. Seriously, the more busy the amen break is, the simpler the bass should usually be. Think in impact windows. Leave room for the drums, and place your bass notes where the ear can clearly hear them. A really simple beginner pattern could be short hit on beat 1, another short hit on the end of 2 or beat 3, then a longer note to resolve the phrase. That alone can already feel like a proper DNB riff if the timing is right. Keep the notes low. We're talking sub territory, not lead territory. A range around F1 to A1 is a good place to start, depending on your patch and tuning. Now shape the sound. If you're using operator, choose a sine style oscillator and keep the filter open or very gentle. Give it a fast attack, because we want the notes to speak quickly. Then set the release so the notes don't cut off too abruptly. If you want the hits more percussive, shorten the decay. If you want them to feel heavier and more connected, let them breathe a little longer. If you're using waveatable, keep the tone simple. Use a clean waveform and filter it down so it stays in sub territory. You can add a tiny bit of movement later, but for now, keep it disciplined. Now add saturator after the synth. This is where we give the bass a little extra presence. Turn on soft clip, and start with just a few dB of drive, maybe around 2 to 6 dB. The goal is not to destroy the clean sub. The goal is to add harmonics so the bass can still be heard on smaller speakers, while staying heavy underneath. This is one of those important mastering-minded ideas. A pure sine sub is strong, but it can disappear on some systems. A little saturation helps it translate better. Now let's make the phrase actually feel like call and response. Edit the MIDI so the call is shorter and more punchy, and the response is a little deeper or longer. That contrast matters a lot. A short note feels more percussive. A longer note feels heavier and more emotional. If the groove feels stiff, change the note lengths before you start changing too many other things. Also, try using velocity as a musical tool. Make the call a little more forceful, and let the response sit a bit softer. That can make the phrase feel like it's breathing. If you want a tiny bit more tension, move one note up or down by a semitone or two. Don't overdo it. Small pitch movement can create a dark, unstable feel without turning the bass into a melody. Now check the relationship between the bass and the amen break. This is where the groove really starts to matter. The bass does not need to hit every drum. In fact, if it does, the loop can get cluttered fast. Let the bass answer in the gaps around the snare. Keep it away from the most important snare moments unless you want a deliberate clash for impact. If the kick feels masked, shorten the bass note or nudge it slightly later. This is all about timing. Even a tiny MIDI movement can change how locked the riff feels. Zoom in and move notes by a small amount if you need to. Sometimes a few milliseconds is all it takes to make the groove click. Now add EQ 8 after the saturator. Cut any rumble below about 25 to 30 HE. If the sound feels boxy, make a gentle cut somewhere around 200 to 350 HE. Don't just boost random areas unless you hear a real reason to do it. For beginner low-end work, subtraction is usually your friend. Then add utility and make sure the bass stays mono. Set the width to 0% or very narrow. This is crucial. Sub bass should live in the center. Wide low end might feel exciting for a second, but it usually causes problems in club systems, headphones, and mono playback. Also, check your break. If the break has too much low end, clean it up with EQ so the sub belongs to the bass track, not the drum sample. That separation is a huge part of getting a stronger master later. Now let's add some motion without making the low end chaotic. Use automation on things like filter cutoff, saturator drive, or track volume in small amounts. A simple move could be keeping bars 1 and 2 darker and tighter, then opening the filter a little or adding a touch more drive in bars 3 and 4. If you want a basic filter movement, drop an auto filter and use a low pass mode. Keep the cutoff fairly low and the resonance gentle. You want the bass to feel like it's breathing, not wobbling all over the place. That's a good general rule in D&B. Movement should feel intentional. If the low end changes too much every bar, it gets harder to control later, and the track stops feeling focused. Now group the amen break and the bass together into a drum and bass bus. On that group, add glue compressor or compressor and keep it subtle. Start with a ratio around 2 to 1, a medium attack, and a fairly quick release. Aim for just 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. We're not crushing the loop. We just want the drums and bass to feel glued together. If the groove starts pumping too much, back the compression off. In drum and bass, punch matters. You want energy, not over-squeezed mush. At this point, your loop should already be feeling like a real idea. Now let's turn it into a small arrangement. You can think of it like this. Maybe bars 1 to 4 are a filtered intro, bars 5 to 12 are the full riff, bars 13 to 16 pull back a little with a variation or fill. Then the idea comes back with a twist. That kind of structure helps the loop feel like a section in a track, not just a repeated pattern. If you want to make it more DJ-friendly, keep the intro and outro cleaner, leave some space for beat matching, and reduce bass energy before the drop lands. That way the section actually works in a real arrangement. Before you move on, do a quick mastering style check. Leave some headroom on the master. Ideally, you want plenty of space, not a track hitting the ceiling right away. Check the loop in mono using utility on the master, if needed. Listen for whether the bass still feels strong when the volume is low. That's a great test. If you can still feel the sub quietly, it's probably balanced well. Also ask yourself, does the bass feel powerful because it's clear or because it's just loud? Those are not the same thing. In D&B, clarity usually wins. Let's quickly review the big ideas from this lesson. We built a simple call and response bass riff using only a few notes. We kept the sub mono and controlled. We used operator or wavetable, plus saturator, EQ 8, and utility. We made sure the amen break and the bass were conversing, not fighting, and we'd approached the whole thing with a mastering mindset, which means headroom, clarity, and translation. A few common mistakes to watch out for: don't make the bass too busy, don't widen the sub, don't oversaturate it, and don't ignore note length. If the loop feels off, try simplifying before you start adding more plugins. For a quick practice challenge, make two versions of the same 4-bar loop. Keep one clean and minimal, and give the other a little extra saturation or one small note change. Then listen to both at low volume and in mono. You'll often find that the version with better timing and note length feels heavier, even if it has less processing. That's the Rebo lesson here. In drum and bass, weight comes from space, timing, and control. If the drums and bass answer each other clearly, the whole track feels bigger. Nice work. Build the loop, trust the groove, and keep the sub solid.